That's okay. Man, I'm happy to see some of y'all. It's been forever since I got a chance to lay eyes on you. Yes, yes, yes. Seems like everybody's doing okay. Any tears shed here this morning? Tears of joy? Oh, here we go. I go to preaching. Y'all get quiet. That ain't going to work. That is not going to work. Can you bring me down just a little tad? I hear a little echo there. And it's bad enough. Y'all got to hear me, but I don't want to hear myself twice. Amen? All right, so y'all going to have to talk a little bit more, okay? Or this is just really going to get boring, all right? Right, Mike? They got to talk. They got to connect. Well, listen, what was last week's message? Anybody remember? Mo better. So you guys got it. You got it. That's good. So today we're going to be starting our message series on better. Now, I tried really, really hard thinking of how can I go into this message? How can I open up today's message dealing with better? And one of the things, as you can see outside in the foyer, whenever you came in, you had some people out there and they were offering you some choices, right? And kind of the slogan for this whole message series is whenever life hands you choices, choose better. I told you guys last week that I was at home and talking about my dogs being on a diet, and I made this little joke, you know, to Naomi. I said, well, what about you and your mom? What's your excuse? And I told you guys last week that at that point in my life, life had handed me choices, and I didn't choose better. I made a fat joke, and it warranted me being chased out of the house and locked out of the house, and it was dark, and I'm not scared of the dark, but everyone in my house is. So what you do is you just turn off the whole 200-amp disconnect, and the house has no more lights. And they were just starting to watch It, the horror movie, actually the joke movie. But you guys get where I'm going. Life hands us choices, and it's our job to choose better. Better. I'm still trying to make it up to my wife. She carries stuff on forever. Any women like that? Any women like that? Just hold on to it. You still holding on to stuff your 15 ex-boyfriends ago said, you know? Let that go. Quit making your husband pay for that. Amen? Same thing with men. Men will hold on to stuff, right? But we're just trying to bottle it inside. Till one day somebody just touches that little nerve. And you're like the Tasmanian devil cartoon and Bobcat the comedian. You guys, old people, all that stuff. And everybody in the house is trying to figure out what happened to him. It's because we bottled it up. But anyway, better is one day. That's today's message. Better is one day in the presence of God. So this whole message series, I'm hoping that you will see that life can be much, much better when we seek God. Amen? Anybody hungry yet? Anybody hungry? Just think about this. If you can, for just a moment, just close your eyes. Come on, let's imagine for a minute. Now, some of you wives are imagining your husband cooking. And that's a far-fetched idea, but just close your eyes. Go with me here. Just imagine this large, juicy steak. Now, some of y'all may be vegetarians in this place, and more power to you, but I just have to remind you that when the prodigal son came home, what did the father prepare? Did he prepare asparagus and kale? No, he said, go out and kill the fatted calf because my son is home. But just imagine a delicious steak. I know growing up, we were raised dirt poor. We ate potted meat and Vienna sausage. That was like an everyday staple in my diet. They're still doing chemical testing on me to see whether or not that was harmful. But anyway, what I'm getting at is we had steak every blue moon. But when we did, it was always well done. And it had A1 steak sauce or ketchup. This is a long word. A lot of you may not. Whiskey chitter, Worcestershire, Worcestershire. There's a lot of different ways you can say it, but you got to be careful when you're around kids because something else might slip out, you know? But what I'm getting at, that's how we would eat our steak. It would be just well done, shoe sole style. You guys know I'm talking about flip-flop, black flip-flop in Daytona Beach on the sand forever with a little bit of ketchup and some Worcestershire sauce or maybe some A1. Any A1 fans up in here? Now, whoever battled the A1 in Heinz 57? Anybody? No? Y'all just stuck with A1. Let me tell you something. I always thought steak was good that way. But as I got older and I could buy my own steak and I could prepare my own steak, I realized that medium well done steak is just right. You guys get me? But here's what, it's mo better. But here's something that just happened maybe about 2 years ago. My wife grilled some steaks, and when I sliced that knife into that steak, I didn't hear, I took the first bite, I'm telling you, it's like God himself sat down with me and said, how's that taste, son? How's that taste? But I'm telling you, this was the best tasting steak. It had such flavor. It was rich. You could taste seasoning, but yeah, you can taste. It was just, man. I said, baby, what did you do to this steak? Did you anoint it with oil? Did you pray over it? And she said, no, it's just some new Tony Satcheri's steak marinade that I got. Now, I'm not trying to sell stuff, but Tony Satcheri's is spelled C-H, not Chachery's, for those of y'all from Lulu and Lake City or Fort White. Louisiana, it spells one way, but you say it another, okay? But Tony Satcheri's makes this steak marinade that will put you over the edge. It's mo better. It's mo better. So what I'm getting at, guys, is you can have a steak that's well done and you enjoy it for all these years. But listen, there's always something that can make it better. Always something that can make it better. Amen? Make it better. And that's what we're talking about today, is how to make life better. Anybody want a better week than last week? Anybody want a better month than last month? A better year than last year? That's what all humans strive for. None of us can be happy with just being copacetic and just kind of humdrum, making it through life. We always want, I want next week to be better. Next month, next year be better. But does it always unfold that way? Because life hands us choices. Many times we think we're choosing better, right? People give you a job promotion. They give you, you know, so much more an hour and so much more per year. But is it really better for your family? Is it really better for your wife and your kids? Is it really better? Y'all getting quiet on me again. I'm going to preach forever. I'm telling y'all, I ain't scared. I'll preach at 2 o'clock quick, fast, and in a hurry. But listen, something Mike just said a while ago, that in order for us to grab what is better, we're going to have to let go of what is good. And that's hard. That is so hard. It's so hard to let go of something that is good and able to reach something and hold on to what is better. God offers us indescribably better things. Amen? How many of us just go for the good life? We just want to live the good life. We just want to live the good life. Well, listen, think about this. We talk about our spiritual walk. Why do we always separate our spiritual walk from the good life that we live? It's always compartmentalized. It's on Sunday mornings, or if I go to a Bible study, or if I do a devotional, or whatever the case may be. But many times there's this separation. I want to give you guys a scripture that we're going to be talking about next week. You can write it down. I'm just giving you a little preview. But next week we're going to be talking about, better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil, a chasing after the wind. And you can find that in Ecclesiastes, okay, chapter 4, verse 6. I'm telling you, these messages are really, I believe they have the power to change our lives. I believe that today's message has the power to really affect your life, your faith, your lifestyle, the way that you go through life, even yet today. How many of y'all want a sermon on a message that has the power to do that? One of y'all, that's good. I'm preaching just for you, Sandy, just for you. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with a toil. And that's going to be next week. Another thing you're going to find about this week's message series and this whole, 5 weeks is that we're going to be starting small groups starting today. We're going to be having a small group at our house, not our house today, but Alex and Joyce will be hosting today's small group. Listen, I want each and every one of you, just for the next 5 weeks, if you can make one, if you can make three, two, four, five, get connected to one of our three small groups. Why? Because life is better when you're in circles. Life is better when you're in a living room with someone hanging out. Life is better when you're eating some steak marinated in Tony Satcheri's. Life is better. But we can grow. We can grow here in rows. But how many of you guys know that you get a little closer? when you're just in circles, when you're face to face, when you're in someone's home connecting with them. So over the next 5 weeks, we're having 5 weeks of better small groups. So if you want to get connected, we'll be starting ours today at 5:30. We're meeting every Sunday. I think Charlie is going to be leading his possibly on Sunday or another day of the week. Wendy and David will be leading one on Tuesday evenings. So get with one of those three. If you look in the foyer, you can sign up. There's a list out there. Like I said, if you can make it to one or three, it's all up to you. Amen. Want to do life better. So today's scripture, Psalm 84, verse 10, okay? But I'm going to start off on verse 1 and 2 just to kind of give us a little context. So if you want to turn your Bible app to Psalm 84, and I'm going to start off with verse 1 and 2, and then I'll skip over to verse 10. But the psalmist, the writer, the author says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty." I love the language right here. How lovely is your dwelling place? How lovely is the place, God, that you reside, that you stay, that you dwell? Then he goes on in verse 2, and he says this. He says, My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. Now, if any of you aren't too familiar with the Bible, when it talks about the courts of the Lord, it's not talking about court as in, you know, judge, and you're going to be prosecuted, you're going to get in trouble, get spanked, whatever the case is. He's talking about the living quarters, the presence of God, right where God dwells. And all throughout the Old Testament, you'll see that that's how people wanted to connect, they wanted to get closer to God, was to be in the temple courts, was to be in God's presence. Verse 2, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. And then he really begins to share how serious, how passionate his heart is to be connected with God. How many of y'all can tell the difference between connected to religion or connected to God? Anybody can tell the difference? Have you been able to see the difference of being connected to religion and then being connected to God in his presence? He says, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Something's happening. Something's happening. Skip over to verse 10, and this is going to be our key verse for today. And I want you to do your best to memorize it even throughout today's service. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your presence, God. Better is one day in your courts than how many elsewhere? Better is one day in your court, God, in your presence, than 1,000 elsewhere. So that means if I spend 3 years doing anything and everything else, that's a lot of time. Better is one day. Better is one. God, just being in your presence for one day is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Then he goes on, he says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell, to reside, to be in the tents of the wicked. I'd rather be on the outskirts of the presence of God, just humbly standing there, opening and closing the door of no significance. I'd rather be right there than dwelling in the tents of the wicked, being a part of what the wicked are doing on a daily basis, being amongst them. He said, I'd much rather be just near the presence, right at the gates. Amen? Here's the problem is so many churchgoers don't live this way. So many church attenders, so many professing Christians, you can tell by the empty seats here this morning that they don't live this way. They don't think better is one day. Isn't it funny how one sounds a lot like sun? Come on now. Sunday, one day, y'all gonna get this? Somebody's gonna get this, right? Better is just one day in the house of God than 1,000 elsewhere. Did y'all know the fish are really biting today? Everywhere people are going to find pleasure other than spending time with God, that's where. Do you know that all the body, I did a study when I moved to Florida. They have more fishing license issued in the state of Florida, I believe, than any other state. And then 80% of all the water has no fish in it. Isn't that something? So for a fisherman on Sunday mornings, instead of better is one day in your courts, going after that fish, he's got to find that 20% of water that has fish in it. That's a job. Come on, ladies, let's give our men a hand clap. That's a job. You're such a conqueror, a dragon slayer, right, Mike? Just think about it. How many odds are out there? 20% of the water in all the world contains the fish we're going after. It's much easier going to Winn-Dixie or Publix. I have learned that after having two boats. Much easier. My wife's been trying to tell me this forever. But it's nothing more therapeutic than being out there. But anyway, I'm preaching, I'm meddling. Better is one day in your course than a thousand days. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Let's also say, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper at the house of our God than be what? Dwell in the tents of the wicked. You see, when I was a lost person, I didn't really think this way. I didn't live like Christians should be living. Better is one day in your courts. Why? Because my life was, it was all about fun. It was all about sin. How many of y'all know sin can be fun? Sin is good. Sin is nice. It's flavorful. It's great, right? I never thought about going to church. That was crazy. The first time I ever went to Brandy's house, I drove over an hour to get to her house. And I get there, I'm like, I'm here. Let's do this. And they were all walking out the back door, which I thought was to greet me. You know what they were doing? Getting in their vehicle and going to church. And I'm like, wait up, it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. Like, where are you going? We're going to church. You want to come? I'm like, I don't think I have a choice. I'm not going to sit out here. I don't know any of you or your neighbors. So I went with them to church on a Wednesday. Crazy, crazy. But they had standards, they had beliefs, they had practices in their life that says, you know what? Better is one day in his courts, in his presence, than thousand elsewhere. And I just said, you know what? This is crazy. My sinful life is way better than going to church on Wednesday evenings, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights. Come on now. And then they do the fifth Sunday singing. How many of y'all like those fifth Sunday singings? You get these quartets from I don't even know where. They're going to show up on the fifth Sunday singing, and we're going to have church. Amen? Y'all don't know nothing about no fifth Sunday singing. Mike, is that only Louisiana? Nah, see, you're being very dishonest because you're from Mississippi, and there ain't but one little stream of water between those two states. They have fifth Sunday singings in Mississippi, that's for sure. Amen? Every other Sunday. I got you. But guys, listen, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. How or why is it better being with God for one day? Why would he write this? Why would he write, better is one day being in God's presence than a thousand elsewhere? Well, a couple reasons. God's word says that his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher. His ways are better than ours. That's just a few reasons why I would rather be in God's presence than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Just think about this. A day with God is better because in Christ you have forgiveness of your sins. I'd much rather be in the house of the Lord. To have all my sins forgiven in Christ, your sins have been separated. In God's eyes, as far as the east is from the west, he never holds them against you again. I think I'll take a little bit of being in God's house anytime. A day with God is better because you have the security of knowing that you are in the family of God, that you are a son, a daughter of the Most High God. That's better. Better is one day. Better is one day with God because you have joy unspeakable. You're not just waiting for something to work out really well for you in your life because you have God, you have Christ, you have joy. Anything comes against you, yes, it may affect maybe your emotions. It may affect your hair loss. You may be a eater, whatever the case is. But you know what? Deep inside, if you just stop long enough to listen to that voice, you will hear the voice of God, the Holy Spirit saying, I got this. I'm going to pull you through this. You're going to make it through this. Quit acting like everybody else. Act like a son of God. Act like a daughter of God. And know that better is one day. Amen? A day is better with God because you have a divine calling on your life. I think everybody should say that. I have a divine calling on my life. Why did everybody get quiet? it gets real scary when we begin to acknowledge God created me for a purpose. Well, Pastor Damon, I just don't have time to be all serious about my calling and my purpose. That's just too big. It's too, no, I'm not, I don't want to be like you. I just want to go to church every once in a while and just sit still, look pretty, and do my thing. God has given each one of you a divine purpose, a divine calling. He didn't create you to be born in the 30s, in the 20s. He didn't create you to be born in 2040. He created you for now. He wants to use you now. He has big things for you to do now. Not when you get old, not when you retire, not when you have better things. No, now. That's when things really begin to wake up, that God ordained my footsteps before my name was even written on a birth certificate. It was written in His book. He knew what He wanted to do with me, and He knows what He wants to do with you. The question is, are you living one day better? Better is one day in God's courts, in His presence, in His will, in His calling, in His purpose, than 1,000 living out my own way. A day with God's power is better, because if you're a Christian, the same exact spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Bible says and promises that He lives within us, and He gives us direct access to the throne of God. Direct access to the throne of God. I got to help myself believe this sometimes. Because some of y'all got like Sprint, you got Metro PCS, you got Cricket, right? But there's a middleman between your service, you're connecting with who you think you're calling, and the actual person you're calling. See, with the Holy Spirit, there's no middleman. There's no middleman. There's only one, the Bible says. That's Jesus Christ the Lord, that He is the one mediator between God and man. Isn't that incredible? You have direct access to heaven for those who are in Christ, for those who follow the Word of God, the Spirit of God. And I know, where am I saying that life, when you become a Christian, one day is better in the house of God, that every other day is peachy and everything works out. The Bible does say that, Romans 8:28. There's sometimes I think it's not working out, but I said that this week to some young people, I think 17 and 18 years old. I said, let me tell you something. Don't get thrown off course when things happen in your life. I have seen the absolute worst happen in ministry. The worst has, I've seen it happen, it's been done to me, the worst. And it kicked me sideways, upside down, threw me for a loop. But one thing I can say, God works out all things for the better of those who love Him. That's the deciding factor there. For those who love Him and those who are called according to who? His purpose. That in hindsight, all the stuff I saw happen, I experienced, that's been done to me. Listen, it's nothing but a smile on my face now, because I'm seeing the bigger picture. I'm seeing the final image. God will not give up on you. He's not finished with you. Some of y'all might just do a little bit of hand clap, because you let one problem that is huge, it may be catastrophic, it may be painful, it may be death, it may be illness, whatever the case may be, just know it's just for a moment. It's just for a moment. Just for a moment. Too many people playing possum being Christians. Amen? We got to wake up. Better is one day. Come on, y'all say it. Better is one day. Better is one day in the house of God than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be in a boat in a storm with Jesus than on the shore without Jesus. Because better is one day in His courts, in His presence, than 1,000 sitting on the seashore just enjoying sunshine and the rays of the sun, right? I'd rather be with Jesus. Because as long as I'm with Him, all is well. Because He has the power. He has the power to speak to the storm around us. And He can change it in a split second. Better is one day. So how do we have a day with God, Pastor Damon? Thanks for asking. Listen, you can start your day off by having a devotion. You can read one scripture. You can read 10. You can read 100. You can pray for an hour. You can pray for 10 minutes. That's how we would all think. That's how I want to have. Better is one day with God. That's how I'm going to have a day with God. I'm going to do that. I'm going to have a devotion. I'm going to pray. I'm going to listen to some worship. Those are all great, and those are all dandy. But you know what happens? As soon as you finish that time, you move on with life. You start putting your makeup on for those men. Whatever you do, splash a little cologne on, deodorant, brush your hair. Don't even brush your teeth. Head off to work. You know, you got work to do. You got things to conquer. You got things to fix. Whatever the case may be. Where is God now? Right where we had him. Right in that little compartment. Right at that time of devotion. Right at that quiet time. Right at that meditation time. That's not better as one day. We're saying one day, not a minute. Not 10 minutes, not an hour. How do we have a day with God? We want to live with an ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence. How does that happen? We want to live with the ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence. Well, Pastor Damon, I only really feel God's presence maybe like when I'm at church or maybe when I'm listening to a specific worship song. Listen, we can feel, we can experience God's presence much more often than that. And it all starts with what we do. It starts with what we do. It starts with who? What? We. God is always ready. The Bible says that he is an ever-present help in the time of need, that he's omnipresent. He's always there. Even in the times where we're enjoying our little sin, our little teacup of sin, guess where he's at? Right there. If you're from Louisiana, there's no T-H-E-R-E. It's right there with a D. Y'all give it a shot. Right there. See, y'all can come home with me, Louisiana, and just blend right on in. Right there. I'd rather be in a storm. How do we spend a day with God? Listen, live with ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence. You don't just have a time with God. You're seeking God. You're listening for God. You're looking for God. Think about this, guys. In the Old Testament, there is no Hebrew word that is used as the word we would use as spiritual. All in the Old Testament, you won't find the word spiritual in there. Why is that? Could you imagine the disciples going to Jesus and asking Jesus, Yeshua, how's your spiritual walk going? How's your spiritual life going? Jesus would be like, how's my spiritual life going? Everything is spiritual. You know, because when God created everything, he is spirit. He created everything in whose image? His image. Everything is spiritual. But not the way we see it. We see it Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings is spiritual. My times with God's word, whenever I do that, that's my spiritual life. It's not meant to be that way. Everything is spiritual. Jesus says, I'm about my Father's business. And his business is spiritual. There's nothing that Christ did that wasn't spiritual. We should be the same way. Amen? And when we have with that ongoing awareness of God's presence, that everything is spiritual, that we will be able to see him and hear him and experience him many more ways than we do. See, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, you had to go somewhere to be in the presence of God. In the Old Testament, you had to go to the temple, right, to be in the presence of God. In the New Testament, he says that, you know what? The Holy Spirit, for those of you who are followers of Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you. He dwells in you. You carry the very presence of God. If you want to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, it says that. It says, don't you realize that you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? Then it goes on to say, God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Stop deceiving yourselves. He's telling that to the followers. Stop deceiving yourselves. You are the temple of God. When are we going to get this? We'll sneak around doing this and doing that behind closed doors, thinking that we're not the temple of God, and God's not with us, but he is. He is. See, we don't have to go somewhere to be with God. For those of us who are followers, children of God, he comes to dwell inside of us. Can I get an amen there? So if the Bible says we can have one day with God, what's stopping us from having a week with God? Surely, if God's going to give me a day with him, I think he'd give me a week with him. And if I can have a week with God, what's stopping him from me having a month with God, a month in God's presence? Wow. What about a year? What about a lifetime? You guys You guys getting a little hungry, a little thirsty for what that might feel like, what that might taste like, what that might be like in your life? Well, I still got to work, Pastor. Well, you can call Adam and tell him thank you, and Eve and tell her thank you, because that's why we sweat and that's why we work, and y'all figure that out. But what I'm getting at is we still have to work, we still have to sweat, we still have to do things to meet our needs so we can meet the needs of others as well. But why do we think we can't have the presence of God when we're doing that? Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Paul says this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. This is really how we can begin to not just have one day in God's presence, but have a week, have a month in God's presence. Paul says this in Colossians 3:17. You guys see that right there? What is that second word? You ever get to work and you're like, whatever. Come on, raise your hand. Like, it's just whatever. Whatever. Like, what y'all say? Something can go to hell in a handbasket? Y'all say stuff like that? Whatever. Whatever, whatever. I just got to do whatever. If I ever call my mom on the phone, she's going to use whatever like 100 times. I'm like, Mom, you're only 63, 64. You got to get a little bit more descriptive about life. Or when you turn 80, it's going to be whatever, 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 whatever. No, we got to train our brain to be specific. But this scripture says, whatever you do, whether in word, that's this. That means whatever you're doing with your mouth, whatever, if I say whatever, whatever you do with word or deed, so what is whatever? Whatever entails A-L-L or every. Whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it all, what? So if you are having a whatever type day at work and your boss is acting like whatever, guess what we are to do? One day I'm preaching to you. Whatever you do, whether it word or deed, and you're dealing with your boss, look right here, look, do it all in the name of Jesus. Your life, listen, I have watched some of you have the most miserable marriage ever since I've met you. Miserable. Whatever you do. Just think if you put a little bit of this in your marriage. If you put a little bit of this in your relationship, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, well, I just don't say nothing. Well, maybe you need to read this scripture. Well, I don't do nothing, because if I do something for her or do something for him, he's going to expect something in return. She's going to expect something. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it what? So if we're doing stuff for our spouse or our work or our family, and we're doing it for or in the name of Jesus Christ, what do you think the rewards could possibly be? What's that B word? Better. Everybody say better. Better. It could just get a little better. Better is one day. Amen? So here's what I want to do. I'm going to give you three quick things, three habits that we can develop, and you will begin to see that life spiritually begins to be better. The first habit you want to develop is constant communication with God. Constant communication with God. Man, does that make a huge difference. Constant communication with God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 and 17 says this, be joyful when. That's kind of like that whatever, and it's kind of like that all, right? Be joyful always. Be joyful always. Always be in joy. And what should you pray? What does that scripture say? Never stop. Never stop. Never stop. Pray continually. Pray without ceasing. Well, if any of you are like me, like you start off, oh, Lord God, thank you for this day. God, it's such a beauty to just breathe in this air. We thank you, God. God, I pray that you would move in such and such life today. And, you know, today's Monday. Today's trash day. I got to bring the garbage out. Man, did they not bring the garbage out? Well, who fed the dogs? Did they feed the dogs? Where's my keys? Gosh. There goes your prayer life. A whole 10 seconds of that holy moment. Better is 10 seconds in your courts, right? So you're like me, because you're laughing at you. But we got this ADD type prayer. We can't even pray 5 minutes straight. How in the world can we pray continually? Well, Pastor, I pray in my sleep. Mm-hmm. I pray in tongues, but I practice on the very, very rear part of my upper palate, and it sounds a lot like that. No, that's not how it works. Guys, how can we pray continually? I'm gonna give you tips on how to do this. How many of you guys have one of these? How many of you carry it just about everywhere? Yeah? If I were to take your phone and bring it to UF and then do some samples on the outside underneath the microscope, woohoo! I've been to your house. I know what you do with horse manure. But how many of you guys bring your phone to places you don't bring your neighbors? Places you don't want your kids to come. You guys, I'm going, you carry your phone everywhere. Why? Why do you carry your phone everywhere you go? Stay in touch. Thank you for being honest. My wife would have said to play Candy Crush or Pet Rescue or whatever the case is. But no, to stay in touch. Now, here's what I do on my phone. I send out a message to someone. Some of you guys get like, it converts it to media message and it's like an hour long. And you're like, why does he always send me these long texts? I love you, that's why. No, honestly, with that little bitty phone, we can send 140 characters or less. Not 140 words, just 140 characters. That's roughly like a sentence and a half, maybe two sentences. And when I send that to you, what is that? That is communicating. Did I have to take 10 minutes of a spiritual time to be able to communicate with you that way? Absolutely not. I just did it. I just sent that 140 character message to you, and then you are now connected to me because you read my message. And I love how these apps show the little check mark that you received it. And because you don't want to say no or yes, you just don't respond. You guys like that? I love that. I love it. I really do. You know, it's kind of funny. But what I'm getting at is that's how we communicate. And when I do that with 10 or 12 or 20 or 30 people on a day's time, I have constantly communicated with those that I love and those that I care for and those who love me and care for me. You guys get where I'm going. So if we do that with our spouses, our staff, our relatives, we could be doing the very same thing with our Creator. Just short bursts of communication. God, thank you. That's it. God, thank you. God, that person really looks bothered today. Lord, I want to pray for them right now. And you do it. Isn't that crazy? God, that person really looked disturbed. I have no idea what's going on in their life, but you don't know me and I don't know you, but I just feel like you need a hug right now. And I feel the Spirit of God told me to give you a hug. Can I give you a hug right now? And you just give them that hug. And then you feel this awkward lack of embracing from that person. And then all of a sudden they realize that you're genuine and they hold you. And they start to quiver and they start to shake as they're fighting their very best to hold in, breaking down right there in a stranger's hug at Circle K. That person will remember that the rest of their life because they encountered a son or a daughter of God that heard the Spirit of God. God, constant communication. Everybody say constant. Constant communication with God. If I'm going to soccer practice, I'm going to football practice, what? If I'm in constant communication with God, what's going to happen? If I'm in His Word, constant communication, what's going to happen? He's going to speak to you. If you're in God's Word, if you're in some communication with Him throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month, He's going to speak to you. Now, the key when He speaks to us is to what? To instantly obey Him. That's the second point. Instant obedience to God. There's one thing I used to tell to my kids all the time, but I gave up. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And it sounds so good coming from a loving father, right? But when you got to look in the mirror and say, delayed obedience to what God tells me to do is disobedience, and I don't want to be disobedient to my Heavenly Father, but all of us are. Why? Because we just want to wait. We want to be delayed. It's not the right time, God. Who are we to tell him it's not the right time? Think about that. Delayed obedience. No, I want to instantly obey God. Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's the new NIV. Now, the NLT says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading. Let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Constant communication with God and instant obedience to God. How many of you guys are reading God's Word on an app, or maybe you have a devotion that comes across? Just reading God's Word daily, semi-daily, once a week. Thank you. Is it making a difference in your life? I don't really know. Not really. I still chew my husband out. I still slap the kids. And I don't. But I still kick the dog. I may. Word of God don't say anything about not kicking the dogs, okay? I'm joking, guys. Y'all gonna be hating on me. But anyway, what I'm getting at is, if you just get a little bit of God's Word in you on a daily basis, even if it's one scripture, I promise you it will keep your spirit well, well. Amen? Instant obedience. You can keep, and it's better as one day. Y'all remember that. Don't forget that, right? You know what? I was thinking about this. 3 years ago, we took a team to Louisiana. They had a huge flood. It flooded 40,000 homes in Denham Springs, Louisiana, which is where we lived when Naomi was a year old till 8, 6, 7, something like that. We had a lot of people. We were part of a church, about 1,300 people there, and just phenomenal. I worked there for 15 years, so we knew the area. Moved over here, flooded over there, went back. And there's one thing I remember is we're loading up. We had trucks and trailers ready. A friend of mine, Butch, he's like, you know, we're going to be bringing a camper. My wife and I, we couldn't go to sleep last night, packing up everything. He said, we both at the same time looked at each other and said, we need to bring that camper to give to someone. And he's telling me this. I'm like, dude, giving a camper away? I was thinking like a little pup tent kind of deal, you know? And he pulls up at the church, and there's this big 28, 30-footer travel trailer. I mean, everything's nice. I'm like, really? We hauled that thing to Louisiana. You know, and my friend Butch, he doesn't really talk to me about a lot of spiritual things, although we have had some very, very great, great discussions. But I was like, man, that's pretty incredible. And would you know, after 2 days being there, frantically working on houses and just taking sheetrock out of these houses that had water 4 and 5 feet high, it was God-awful. You guys can go back and look at videos on my Facebook page. But 2 or 3 days after being there, we were introduced to a family. They were in their 80s. They had lived in that house since they built it in the 50s. Never once has it ever flooded. And this time, they had over 4.5 feet in their home. Both retired, both very physically unable to do a lot, and both needed a place to live. And by God's divine appointment, by Butch with his wife praying and instantly obeying God, we were able to back up that camper on this man's driveway. And while the house was being worked on, he and his wife could still be at home. Can I tell you, I cried. Did I cry? And then when we worked, we went back a couple weeks later, they fed us meals. I mean, they're cooking, they're baking in this camper and preparing meals for our crew at 80-something years old. Just listen, constant communication with God, instant obedience to God. And the third point I want to give you guys is a daily desperation for God. Now, these messages, when I preach, I'm preaching to myself. When I'm studying, I don't like to hear what I have to tell you, because that means I have to tell myself. Daily desperation for God. Guys, I enjoy life. I love my life. I have a good life. I'm satisfied in many areas of my life. I'm fulfilled in many areas of my good life. But I can only say that when I separate my spiritual life from my good life. Just as Jesus, everything is spiritual, right? So that means my good life needs to be blended more into the, I need to have a constant awareness that God's presence is near. I need to instantly obey him because I have constant communication with him. Are you guys following me? So I can just sit back and enjoy the good life, but I'm missing point three, and that's to have a daily desperation for God. Because without a daily desperation for God, the other two things, constant communication, how many of you call your parents because you have to? You call your loved one because you don't want to hear them fuss at you. You never called last week. You do because you have to. You're obligated, right? We don't want to be that way with God. I want to have constant communication. I want to instantly obey. Why? Because I have a daily desperation for God. Amen? He says, my soul yearns for you. My heart faints for you, the living God. And here's what I've learned as a Christian. I don't want any hands lifted, but when was the last time things like this came out of your mouth? God, I thirst for you. God, I'm so hungry for a move. I'm so hungry for you to just move in my life. I thirst for your presence, God. I just need you. I don't want to move another muscle until I feel your presence, until I feel your hand upon my life. God, I don't want anything but you, God. You can take everything to this world. You can take my life. You can take my family. You can take all of my possessions, God. I just want you. Is that something we pray often? Is that something that we say often? Many times, not. Why is it so weird? It's because we don't have appetite for God quite that much. And what I've learned is that you can only have an appetite for what you eat. Just think about that. So if I'm not passionate, my soul yearns for God, the only way I can get to that level is if I'm partaking of that. I'm tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. How many of you guys just crave cow tongue? Just fresh cow tongue cooked with some collard greens and beets? Are y'all serious? They serious. I thought really hard and no one in this church is going to say I enjoy cow tongue and collard greens with beets. But you guys get my point. We don't crave that because we don't eat that. So if we're going to be like the writer in Psalms, it says, God, my soul yearns and thirsts and aches for you and your presence, it's going to be because we've tasted that. We've had that before, and I just can't be satisfied. I want to be desperate for God. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. There's a war going on. My flesh desires what is against the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God that is in me, it desires what is contrary to the flesh. The Bible says in Galatians 5:17 that they are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. Listen, I get excited when I feel that war going on inside of me. I like when my flesh is fighting for what it wants and my spirit is yearning and reaching and fighting for what it wants. That's because I know that my heart is going after God. But if you're like thinking like I am, well, Pastor, I never really experienced stuff like that. I've just kind of move on through life and I just kind of, everything. You may be too far on one of those sides of living the good life. Or you've crucified your flesh and you've gotten past all your fleshly desires and issues and wants, and you're just living that spiritual life. But for me, if I'm in that turmoil, I know I'm still Damon, but I also know that I'm yearning to be in the presence of God. And as I close, Psalm 63, verses 1 through 3, he says, oh God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. Psalm 63. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and behold your power and your glory. Because what? Because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. He is better. A day with the Lord is better than what? How many of you guys want more than a day? Listen, doing life is better. Doing life with God is better. If you hear anything today, as we're closing right now, I want you to disassociate your Sunday mornings from what you classify or categorize as your spiritual walk. Because the efforts that you and I have gone through to make it here this morning, if we're to do that every day, number one, I'm being mindful. I'm planning on going to church. I'm planning on giving. I'm planning on praying. I'm planning on tithe. I'm planning on serving. See, this is all premeditated. I planned on coming here today. But what about tomorrow? Are you thinking about what you're going to do with God tomorrow? Are you thinking about how you're going to serve God tomorrow? How you're going to look for God, listen for God, give to God, serve? How? Constant communication. Constant communication with God. Instant obedience and a daily desperation. There is nothing better than being in the presence of God. Nothing better than being in the presence of God. So I'm going to shut up for this moment right now. Because I told you, if you're a follower of Christ, you have direct access to the throne room of God. I want you to pray. I want you to listen. I want you to connect with God. You can do it right there in your seat. You can do it right here at the altar. You can stand up. You can lay down. Whatever, however you connect, I want to give us a few minutes to do that. Would that be okay? Because everything, all that I said, all that I do is in vain if we don't let it settle. Father, I pray that you would be with your people. As right now, God, as they're going to spend some time in prayer, maybe with their neighbor or maybe across a row, or God, they may be up here at the altar. God, I pray that you speak in ways that you have not spoken as of yet. And we trust your Spirit right now. Amen. There's nothing better than being in His presence. If you go back and you look through all the occurrences where humans encountered the presence of God, it was very defining moments for many, many lives, for countries, tons of people, just by having an encounter with God. God still wants to do that today. He still wants to impact all of your surroundings if you would just come into His presence. You'll be able to see spiritually what you've not been able to see. For all the years you followed God, you've pursued God, just one time in His presence, those things will come to clarity, and then you'll begin to understand, wow, God, You're so finite. You're so perfect, God. You're so on time. Amen? So over the next 4 weeks, plan to be here, plan to take notes, plan to pray, plan to prepare, plan to be a part of a small group so that your spiritual life becomes better, but your spiritual walk in life begins to spread throughout the rest of your life on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. Amen? I have a group of people that I want us as a church to pray for. So if we could just bring the lights up a little bit. There's something we do here at Fellowship Church that you may not be aware of because it's been summertime. But just a couple of years ago, God spoke to us and said we need to end our food ministry that they had here for over 20 years on campus, 1 to 200 people at times coming to get food. And we had just, man, we fought this. We prayed through it. We battled whether or not we keep it, whether or not we let it go. And just like me and Mike are saying today, sometimes you got to let go of the good so you can grab what is better. And we finally said, you know, we're going to let that food ministry go. We didn't want to let go until God gave us what was next, but He didn't always operate that way. And I think it was only 2 to 3 days, if max, after deciding to let that food ministry go, He showed us what we're to do. And that's what we do. It's called snack packs. And at Fort White Schools, they have many, many children that go home on Fridays. They don't have the food. They don't have the quantity. They don't have the nutrients that the school has offered Monday through Friday. So their weekends may be difficult being able to get food because of lifestyle, because of families and broken families and homelessness. And we as a church, we decided to go ahead and we're gonna pack these bags full of food. We're going to drop them off every week. And we have people right here in this building that prepare that. They go and get the food. They bring it here. They pack it up. They bring it to the school. Amazing. So if you are remotely connected to or involved in our snack pack ministry, if you could just stand up right where you are. I'm not going to ask you to come up here, but just stand up. And if you don't stand up, I will call you out. This is not to glorify you, but this is so that everyone around can pray for everything that you do as unto the Lord, that He will continue to move. Y'all just reach your hands out. Charlie, could you come up and get with your wife, please? Y'all just reach out for these people right now. Father, we just come together thanking You, Lord, that these people, these precious children of God, Lord, they said yes. God, they had constant communication with You, God. They instantly obeyed You, God. And Father, they have a daily desperation for Your presence. And God, as they are packing bags, as they're getting food and putting food together, Lord, I pray that they would continue to keep the vision ahead of them, God. God, as they put scriptures in these bags or invitations to certain events that we do here as a church, God, I pray that you would go with your word, God, that you would move in their lives of these teenagers, these middle school kids, Lord. And God, I pray that you would bring about healing in the families of these homes, God. Father, we know that your word does not return to you void, God. It will always accomplish that which it is sent here for, God. So we trust, God, the work that we're doing. God, I pray that your voice would speak to every single person who prepares the food and those who receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Could y'all just walk by these folks and give them a hug or a handshake after service and say thank you? Thank you for being the hands of Christ. Amen? God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. All right, so you guys have a great week. For those of you